Okay, so here we go. We are continuing through the book of Genesis. And we've called this time in Genesis the beginning of everything. And so now we're moving into the beginning of God being the missionary God. We're actually moving into the chapter where when Jesus said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, well, that's where we find the beginning of that. That's not something new to the New Testament. In fact, nothing is new to the New Testament. It's all there in Genesis, and it can all be found in Genesis. So we are starting here in chapter 12, looking at Abraham and the family of Abraham. And we're saying the promise to Abraham, which really is God's plan to reach the nations. How is God going to reach the nations? Through Abraham. Well, let's read it together. So it says, now the Lord, in capital letters, the tetragrammaton, when the Lord had said to Abraham, now his name's not Abraham yet, his name is Abram. We'll learn some more about that as we go on. When the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Really what's happening here is another new beginning, because we've said in the book of Genesis that Genesis is the book of new beginnings, and here's another one. Abraham essentially is going to be born again. Everything is going to start new for him. And he's going to go to a land that I will show you. He doesn't know where that is. He hasn't been there yet. Well, here's the promise. I will make you a great nation. Number one, I will bless you. Number two, I will make your name great. Number three, you'll be a blessing. Number four, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Is that five and six, or is that just five? And then the next one, the last one, I like to think that the other one is five and then six, because that would make this one number seven. And in you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham is going to be a blessing to all of the world. Now, how can this ancient man from an ancient place be a blessing to all of the world? Well, we'll see that as we continue here. So we've read that, and let's just review a little bit of what we've done in Genesis. We've covered so far the beginning of everything, when we saw that God was active before the beginning. Before he created all of this, he was active. We looked at the beginning. We looked at Genesis 1:1. We looked at being made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. We looked at the origins of marriage and family. When he created them male and female, and that began the beginning of the family. The foundation of all society really is family. We looked at the origins of work. He gave him something to do. And then we saw how deception broke the image. Well, that's where the plot thickens. That's where everything gets messed up, when we decide to be autonomous, when we decide to move away from God. And then what happened in the beginning of everything? The beginning of social distancing. Ecclesiastes. This is what Solomon said. This only have I found, that God made humanity upright, made us good. We weren't sinners. But humanity has gone in search of many, many schemes. So there you have it. There you have the beginning of social distancing, where after they rebelled against God, it caused distance between the man and the woman. No sooner was there a family than there was domestic difficulty within the family. No longer was there people on the earth. Now they're separated, and they're together, but they're separated. They've had some issues there. Separated from God. 6 feet from people, 12 feet from God is the way that I say it. Well, big troubles come into the world, and what happens with big trouble? Well, let's continue to look at what we've been looking at. You have broken people with broken hearts in a broken world. And it's nothing but a bunch of trouble, really. Well, what happens when people are troubled? What happens when people move away from God? God steps in. God steps in. And we have the beginning of redemption. We have the beginning of salvation. We actually have it a little bit earlier in chapter 3, but here you see a picture of it. And what did we say happens here? That the innocent animal, God takes something innocent and covers them. And there you have the beginning of the innocent dying for the guilty. There you have the beginning of blood being the way that God covers us. And so all through the scripture, you have the innocent dying for the guilty. All through the scripture, you have this blood theme. All through the scripture, you have people who are rebelling against God and God coming, looking for them. So you find that in Genesis, not just in the New Testament. Now we looked at Noah and his time. We looked at the man, the boat, the feasibility study. Is it possible? Is it probable? Could this have happened? And then last week or 2 weeks ago, if you were with us, we looked at the migration of the nations, that the nations moved out all over the place. And we looked at where they moved. And then we looked further into this study of the people migrating, and we looked at the Tower of Babel. What happened in Babel? Well, there, that's when it was of one language and they could do anything. The mob mentality, which we call the mentality of Babel. Mob mentality of Babel, that we can be autonomous, that we can fight God, that we can be at war with God, that we can win the war with God. Well, we looked there, we saw the beginning of really systems that are against God, the system of Babylon being against God, that movements can be against God, that groups can be against God. But we saw that although the people were all against God, God in his mercy came down and he scattered them, and now he's going to go and he's going to meet them piece by piece, because now they have language and culture, which is separating them. And so God is going to go to every language group, every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people, one by one by one, and bring them back to himself. Because we said that what God is doing in the world today in coronavirus summer is the same thing that he has always been doing. He's bringing the family back together. That's what he's doing. And who's he using to bring the family back together? You and me. We need to go out. We need to get the family. We need to bring them back together. We need to say, the Father wants you to come home. We want you to come home, please. You know, you've been gone. You know, please come home. Please come home. Please come home. So God is bringing the family back together. Yeah, we've scattered, we've run, we've separated ourselves from each other, and he is bringing us back together. So because of that, in Genesis, where we looked here, what we really end up finding is that the scattering, as we said, would not go unchecked, but there's a grand process of ingathering beginning in the book of Genesis, where God is bringing everyone back. He's doing what he's always done, because he's the missionary God. He's the God who seeks and saves. And of course, you know, we love this scripture, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came looking for us. We are the lost sheep. He has always been looking for lost sinners. He leaves the 99 to go and to find the one, always looking for lost sinners. Well, that's what he's doing in the account of Abraham. Now, this is Joshua. Joshua is, again, an ancient book early in the Old Testament. Right after you find the first five books of Moses, you find Joshua. Joshua is now going into the promised land, going in there to take it. And it says this in Joshua. Joshua said to all of the people, speaking of Abraham, by the way, Joshua said to all of the people, this is what the Lord said, the God of Israel. Long ago to your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, who lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. They were idol worshippers. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped the moon. They worshiped the stars. They worshiped that which they created with their own hands. And he said, but I took your father Abraham, the one that we're reading about now in the ancient world, from the land beyond the river, the Tigris-Euphrates, and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. That's the Abraham story. That's the story of God who finds one person. The important thing here is in the beginning of everything, you also find here the beginning of monotheism. What is monotheism? Monotheism is the worship of one God, because the ancient world, they worshiped many gods. They worshiped many gods, but here you find just the worship of the one true and the living God. That's what it says in Timothy, for there's one God and one mediator between God and people, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. So in the midst of all of this idolatry, in the midst of all of this polytheism, the many gods, God begins again with what? With one person, with just one person, Abraham. And so it's possible that in your world, he's beginning with you. And he's going to reach your world with just you. He's starting with you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's all right there in Genesis. So here's the promises that God made to Abraham. And of course, it's either 6 or 7, depending on how you split it up. He gave them the land. He made them into a great nation. He blessed them. He made his name great. He blesses those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all of the nations, all of the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Great promises. Great promises. One of the problems with this particular promise is that Abraham did not have any children, but God gives him children. In fact, this passage becomes one of the most unifying passages in the entire Bible. It pulls everything together and puts everything in its place. Again, what is it? It's the land, it's the promise, it's the blessing. So let's talk about that just a little bit. Let's talk about the land. We now know that land as the land of Israel. It was known as the land of Canaan. And this is a theme that's found all throughout the scripture. Again, the beginning of everything in Genesis, and all the themes run all the way through the Bible. And so this theme runs through the whole Old Testament, that God would give them, Abraham's family, the land, and they would settle there. Well, they did, and then they didn't. They did, and then they went down into Egypt, but they come back, and in Joshua's day, there they are. And it was the place that they would be given the word of God. The word of God, they would live it out. They would preserve it. It would spread to the whole world from there. They did settle into the land, and the book of Joshua is all about that. So the next thing you find is, what is it that we had spoke about here? What are the things that we're looking at? Was the promise. The promise. The promise that what? The promise that he would become a great nation. Well, you can't deny that that's happened. They've been in the forefront of history and civilization ever since. And they're in the forefront of history right now. Israel is very, very important to our modern geopolitical world and what's going on in Israel. All coming from the seed of Abraham, that one man. Imagine that. One guy. It's just amazing, the promise of God. And so you have the promise to Abraham, and then you find the promise that he will be blessed, that he will be blessed. Well, I think that Abraham was in fact blessed, don't you think? It seems evident to me, and that his name would be great. Well, no denying that he was blessed. King Solomon, one of his descendants, was probably the richest person who's ever lived, by far. And they've been a blessed people ever since, and many times acquiring the wealth of, from all around them. It's just the way it is. And such a small percentage of the world's population, maybe 1/10 of 1% of the world's population, and yet they get, you know, what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% of Nobel Prizes. Amazing people, blessed. This family of Abraham is a blessed family, just a blessed family. You know some blessed families? I know some blessed families. Well, Abraham's family was one of those, just blessed. And blessing isn't just monetary, but there are other ways, just like one of the things that it said about him and the blessing about him is that his name would be great. Well, his name is great. We're talking about Abraham right now. It's 2020, middle of coronavirus. And here we are talking about Abraham. Shouldn't we be talking about other things? How can we talk about Abraham in the midst of coronavirus? Because his name is great. Because when God makes a promise, God keeps that promise. People have been naming their children Abraham ever since then. And we're talking about him today, as are thousands of others talking about him. Bless those who bless you. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Well, I don't know. What about that one, that all of the nations of the earth will be blessed through you? How does that one work? All of the nations of the earth are blessed through you. Well, it really ends up happening because Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come through his family tree. In Isaiah 49, God reiterates that Israel is supposed to be a light, a blessing to all nations. Abraham's family was supposed to be a blessing to all nations. He said, I'll make you a light for the Gentiles that you might bring my salvation to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Israel, unfortunately, became ingrown and kept all of the blessings for themselves and actually became disobedient to God because they were supposed to be a blessing to everybody, but instead they were keeping all the blessings for themselves. Kind of sounds like us. God blesses us and we take all the blessings and keep them for ourselves. It's all mine. I just like this stuff. Thank you very much, God, for the stuff, but it's my stuff. We're no different. So when the New Testament opens up, it opens up with the affirmation that this is for everybody, from Abraham to the whole world. Watch this scripture. It's the New Testament opening up. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to the Galilee. He left Nazareth and he lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. So just giving you the geographic information for those who don't know. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah had spoken about Jesus and had spoken about Abraham's family being a blessing to all peoples. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea where Jesus was, along the Jordan where Jesus was, Galilee of the Gentiles. The nations, the peoples. Well, Jesus is coming for everyone. He's coming for everyone. And people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and he said, repent because the kingdom of God is near. Well, this is the same thing when Jesus' ministry, when he goes into the temple, it tells us in Mark, as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house is to be called a house of prayer for all nations, all peoples, but you have made it a den of robbers. So this is for everyone. This wasn't just for Abraham's family. The blessing was supposed to come from Abraham's family and go to everyone. Well, they again took the blessing for themselves, to themselves, kept it, liked it, put it under lock and key, make sure nobody comes and gets it. Well, Jesus comes and he tells his disciples an interesting thing. After he's resurrected from the dead, he brings them up onto a mountaintop and he tells them that this continues. Here's what he told them. Jesus sends us to all the nations, you see. It says, then Jesus came to them and he said this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to give it to you. Therefore, my old pastor used to say, whenever you find a therefore, you need to find out what is therefore. It's there because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and now he's going to give it to us. Therefore, go, G-O, go, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Go, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, with Israel, the way it was supposed to work with Israel is that people were supposed to come to Israel and see what it was like to live underneath the blessing of God. But now, in the New Testament, Jesus sends us out to everyone. Instead of everybody coming together to see, come and see, now it's go and tell. And that's what we're doing. We're continuing to go and tell. Will this job ever be finished? Will we be doing this forever or what? No, of course it will be finished. Here's what it says in the book of Revelation. They sang a new song. They said, "You're worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood." Oh, remember that? The blood. The blood, that theme runs all through the scripture. From Genesis, the beginning of everything, when God, the innocent, dies for the guilty and the blood is shed. And all through the Bible, there's this idea that the innocent one dies for the guilty, and it's the shedding of the blood. Okay. "You're worthy to take the scroll and open the seal because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased people for God." From where? Every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people. From everyone. Everyone's there. So when we are reaching people for Christ, whoever they are, be they surfers or be they people who live in India or be they some hidden tribe in the Amazon, whoever it might be, when we're reaching people for Christ near and far, we're accomplishing together the people of God. The church is the people of God. It's not necessarily gathered in a building. Oh, they might gather in building, but together we're accomplishing God's purpose for his church. What is his church? Those who are called out, and then they gather together in little places. Where's the holy place? Wherever people meet. That's where the holy place is. So Israel thought that they were the only ones. But God was making his glory known to all of the nations, and that was the great mystery. In Colossians, it says that the mystery of the gospel is that God is bringing together the Jews and the Gentiles into one family. Well, God is the God of history. God is always working in history. History isn't just some random thing that's happening. There's that scripture in Colossians. But God is the God of history. He's the God of history. He's not random. God is moving all of history to the redemption of the nations. What's happening in Corona summer? God is the God of history. He is moving everything towards the redemption of the nations. All of this is happening for his purposes. In doing this, moving everything, that's the tomb. That's the tomb that Jesus was in, but he's not in there anymore. He's resurrected from the dead. In doing this, God did not give Abraham some commands, but he gave him promises. Interesting what he gave to Abraham. And he's not giving him all kinds of commands, all kinds of things to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. Get yourself some land. Would you? Settle down somewhere. Find a girl. Settle down. No, not at all. Not at all. He's making him promises. He's making him promises. And the promises made by God are certain. Commands can be disobeyed, and they're dependent on our faithfulness and our willingness. How faithful, how willing am I? My word. If you know me, I have a problem showing up on time. I play the phrase in my head, rather be, an hour early than a minute late, and I'm always a minute late. It's difficult for me to keep those commands, to be faithful. It's not that I'm not willing, but I must not be willing enough. But there's a difference between a promise and a command. I'm living proof of the promise. You're living proof of the promise. I hope you are. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, this would be the time to do it. It's making me your Lord and Savior. Time might be running out. And by making it a promise, it cannot be rescinded. It can't be taken back. He's not going to take back the promise. So he does it on a command. Hey, Abraham, when you go get yourself some land, get yourself a place. What are you waiting for? Because it's a promise, it can't be rescinded. And the question for each of us as a fellowship is, will we align ourselves with the purposes of God? but we give ourselves to the cause of Christ for what he lived and died for. Will we do that? Are we willing to do that? Do we want to do that? That's the question. That's the question. Are we willing? Will we give our lives for the cause that Jesus lived and died for? Are we going to be involved in this? Watch this scripture with Peter. You, those of us who know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus today, this is the time for you to come to know him. This is the time for you to make him Lord and to make him Savior. This is the time for you to become a follower of Jesus. This is your day. This is your moment. Don't wait. Don't put it off. The book of Hebrews says, don't put it off. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. A priest stands in between people and God. A holy nation. A people who belong to God, that we might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We need to be declaring the message to as many as we can about Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ. So there you go. Let's have a little more discussion about it and see what happens with it. Hey, let's move on.